Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I've said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's amazing that the time has already passed. 50 days have passed since Easter. And here we are in this day when the focus is on the Holy Spirit, the member of the Trinity that we tend to think about the least. Am I correct in that? Do you think about Jesus all the time? Do you think about God the Father all the time? Do you think about God the Holy Spirit? I'm seeing not as much as I should. And that tends to be the case. You see, sometimes the Holy Spirit seems to be the quiet, almost invisible member of the Trinity. That today is the day when we focus on the Spirit. And in our reading from Acts, we hear the wonders of the Spirit. Well, I was looking back in my notes, and I found that, first of all, my sermon title, Come Holy Spirit Come, is the same title that I had last year, and probably the same title that I had the year before, and maybe the year before, and probably the same title I will have next year. And it will be the same title until the Holy Spirit actually does come and fills this room and fills me the way that I want the Spirit to fill all of us. And then I was looking back and noticed some papers that I wrote when I was in seminary. And I'm not going to bore you by reading you an entire paper, but I do want to read parts of it because I think it really does summarize some of what we know and believe and should experience regarding this quiet person of the Trinity. And I wrote, where is the Holy Spirit in the 21st century communities? Is the Holy Spirit still active in the church and in the world? And how would you answer that? Is the Holy Spirit active, or is Pentecost just a wonderful day in history that we talk about on this one day of the year? I'm not hearing anything. What do you think? Is the Holy Spirit still active?
Yes.
All right. That's what I want to hear. The Holy Spirit is still active, or the church would not exist. The church can't exist without God's Spirit in it. And we cannot exist as Christians without the Holy Spirit in us, working through us either. The church does not exist for its own sake. Instead, it exists for the sake of the world. This is shown in the words that Jesus used to commission his disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And how is Jesus with us always? He can't be with us the way that he was with his disciples, physically present with us. And that is why he comforted his disciples, telling them that I must go to the Father, but I will have the Father send the Advocate who will be with you always. And that is how God is with us through God's own Spirit. In Acts, we see the promised Advocate coming to the disciples at Pentecost in wind and fire, giving them the boldness to proclaim the good news in the native tongues of those hearing them. Not in some strange language that's not understandable by anyone, but in a language to be heard by each individual there. And they're astonished because they've come to Jerusalem for a great feast. And to hear these men speaking in their own native language in ways that they could understand, how amazing that would have been for them. Among all the confusion of languages in Jerusalem, of all these people from all the parts of the known world coming into this place, they hear of the wonders of God in their own language. Peter speaks about Jesus as Messiah in words that cut the listeners to the heart. And he leads about 3,000 people that day to be baptized. That's the power of the Spirit. The writer of Acts states that the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. God is in the heart of the lives of all believers. The book of Acts shows the believers living communally, meeting in home churches that are hosted by both men and women, spending time together in the temple, breaking bread with each other in gladness, praising God, and being such a witness to the world that day after day, people are converted and added to their number. The gospel message is brought first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. Even though followers were facing persecution to the point of death, again and again, the book of Acts shows small Pentecosts and the gift of the Holy Spirit as that gift is poured out to those who come to believe. And sometimes this is the case with Saul, who became Paul, and Cornelius and his household. The believers first receive the Holy Spirit and thereafter are baptized. Even when the message was rejected, even when they shook the dust of the city off their feet in protest against it, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And where is the joy of the early church in our churches today? Do we have that same feeling of joy, that same feeling of being filled with the Spirit, that same feeling that attracted so many converts to the early church? Where is that today? I don't know about you, but when I was in high school, we had cheerleaders and we had cheer squads. And at football games, you had the cheerleaders all shouting out, and they would compete against each other, one side against the other. And they would say, "We've got Spirit. Yes, we do. We've got Spirit. How about you?" And it would go back and forth as they were shouting out to each other how much Spirit they had. And they were talking, of course, about team spirit, not about the Holy Spirit. But the noise, nonetheless, would sometimes be deafening, just as the noise of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost. How often do we see a similar challenge in our churches, where one denomination claims to have the Holy Spirit to the exclusion of other churches, or at least to have more of the Holy Spirit than others? This contradicts what Paul said to the church in Corinth when he wrote, "For just as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body. So it is with Christ. From the one Spirit, we're all baptized into one holy church. Yesterday, I heard a story about what happens if you pray that the Holy Spirit comes. First of all, be careful what you pray for, because sometimes God will give it to you in ways that you don't expect. I was told about some individuals who were part of a youth group, you might say, for young adults going out on mission to Belfast, Northern Ireland, as part of the Presbyterian Church. And one of them was sent to a small church that had diminished membership. And in this church, they prayed, "Come, Holy Spirit, light us with your fire, inflame us with your love." And they prayed that earnestly. And you know what happened? The church burned down. An arsonist burned down the church. And so this church then had to meet in a community center. Well, there was retaliation against the Catholics who must have set this church on fire. And this could have just escalated into another one of those wars that we've heard about during the time of the Troubles. But instead, one church reached out to the other, and the other church reached back. And they tried to heal the rift between them, to heal those wounds, to realize that they both had the Spirit. And you know what happened? That church that was in danger of dying all of a sudden had people coming to it because they saw the Spirit actually at work in that church. A church that had burned down found itself resurrected, found itself really having the Spirit. Do we pray for the Spirit to come and inflame us? Or are we afraid of what the Spirit might do if we pray that way? I know when I come in here and have some quiet time, just me and God, I ask that the Holy Spirit lead and guide me as I preach, as I teach, as I lead. Because I know I need the Holy Spirit. I know that the Holy Spirit takes my words, my fragile human words, and can do things with it far beyond what I can do. But the Holy Spirit can use me, simple, ordinary me, just as the Holy Spirit used the apostles, used Peter that day. So I urge you to pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit comes into your hearts, comes into this church. And because I know we don't do it often enough, let's do it right now. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill this church with your presence. Come and fill our hearts and our lives with your presence. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. Have us so on fire, Lord, that others see you burning inside us and want to join what we have as we walk each day of our lives, Lord. Let us be on fire for you. Fill us with your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day.